Former U.S. President George H.W. Bush at times was saddled with an image that belied his bravery and experience. AP Washington correspondent Sagar Magani reports about his life before he died Friday at the age of 94.
In late 1987, Newsweek ran a cover story titled Fighting the Wimp Factor with a picture of Bush steering a boat.
It's hard for me to comprehend how he could be viewed as a wimp.
Presidential historian Barbara Perry says it made no sense. Bush was an ex-CIA chief and before that, a bona fide war hero, a fighter pilot who was shot down over the Pacific during World War II.
Bailed out and held onto a life raft until he was saved by a U.S. Navy submarine.
And later ordered military action as commander-in-chief.
Tonight, the battle has been joined.
Perry says Bush may have sounded gentle, but he could also play tough guy when needed. Sagar Magani at the White House.
And AP's Jackie Quinn has more on the reaction to his death.
President Trump, attending the G20 summit in Argentina, released a statement praising former President George H.W. Bush for his essential authenticity, disarming wit, and unwavering commitment to faith, family, and country. Former President Obama writes that Bush's life was a testament to the notion that public service is a noble, joyous calling. The Clintons, who teamed up with the senior Bush for tsunami relief, are recalling his kindness, as is Joanne Drake, who knew former Vice President Bush when she worked in the Reagan White House.
An extraordinary human being, and he served this country from the time he was 18 years old until the time he died.
Jackie Quinn, Washington.
And just minutes after he landed in Argentina for the G20 summit, U.S. President Trump made clear that there were other things on his mind besides the meeting of the world's leading economies. This is VOA News. Andrés Manuel López Obrador becomes Mexico's new president this Saturday. He enters the office in a powerful position with a coalition that controls both houses of Congress. He has promised a more austere administration than that of his predecessor. Among other things, he has said that he will sell the presidential plane. At 65, he's been a mainstay of Mexican politics. As a young man, he was a member of the center-right Institutional Revolutionary Party, which controlled Mexico's government for 8 decades. In the 1980s, as cracks were beginning to show in the coalition, López Obrador was one of the many leftist politicians to split from the PRI, joining the Party of the Democratic Revolution, or PRD. Once again, protesters have descended on the most famous boulevard in Paris, with police using tear gas, stun grenades, and water cannons Saturday on demonstrators who have breached security posts. Officials said more than 100 people have been arrested in Paris, and the Reuters news service reported that 6 policemen and 14 protesters had been injured. It is the third time in as many weeks demonstrators have taken their frustrations about escalating taxes, especially on gasoline, and the leadership of President Emmanuel Macron to the streets. And again, just minutes after he landed in Argentina for the G20 summit, U.S. President Trump made clear that there are other things on his mind besides the meeting of the world's leading economies. Shortly after disembarking from Air Force One, he sent a pair of tweets slamming the investigation of Special Counsel Robert Mueller, demanding instead look into the real crimes of the other side. A cybersecurity expert says a law that makes it easy for companies like Marriott will make them more careless with customer data. AP's Warren Levinson reports that Marriott says personal information of more than 500 million people and their data breach was breached.
A massive data breach at a hotel company's information system. Justin Capo says Marriott should have seen this coming.
It's an instance where you have a hotel who's not in the business of cybersecurity trying to securely store data, which they shouldn't be doing.
Capos, a cybersecurity expert at New York University's Tandon School of Engineering, says Marriott collected and maintained more information on its guests than it needed, and whatever it held should have been in the hands of a firm that specializes in keeping data secure. He says these kind of breaches will keep happening until the law changes, so firms know they and not their customers will be penalized for letting data loose. Warren Levinson, New York.
Find more at voanews.com. I'm Tommy McNeil, VOA News.
good evening and welcome to Nightline Africa. We are coming to you live from the English service of the Voice of America. Thanks for joining us. I'm Douglas Impuga. Peter Clote has the day off.
This boy, this son of ours is not going to let you down. He's going to go all the way and serve with great honor all the way.
Former U.S. President George Herbert Walker Bush has died at age 94.
The biggest thing that we've learned for preventing HIV in the last decades is that there is no magic bullet. But you put a whole bunch of really good things together, and it has exactly the kind of impact that a magic bullet would give you.
The world marks AIDS Day today.
We are not going to stop until that new 2% tax on electronic transaction is scrapped.
And opposition supporters in Zimbabwe demand government to do more to fix the sinking economy. Those stories and more coming up right here on Nightline Africa. Former U.S. President George Herbert Walker Bush died at his home in Houston, Texas. He was 94. The 41st U.S. president, a Republican who served one term from 1989 to 1993, was celebrated for expelling the invading Iraqi troops from Kuwait and for efforts towards a Middle East peace agreement. VOA's Slatika Hawk has more.
When the Iraqi army annexed Kuwait in August of 1990, then-President George Herbert Walker Bush formed an international coalition of air and land forces to liberate the oil-rich country and reassure allies in the Gulf region. The operation to free Kuwait was launched the following January.
5 months ago, Saddam Hussein started this cruel war against Kuwait. Tonight, the battle has been joined.
The U.S.-led Operation Desert Storm pushed Iraqi forces out within 6 weeks, and then Bush made the decision to stop the offensive. Many criticized that move as premature, but Bush's prestige at home and abroad skyrocketed. He used it to revitalize the Arab-Israeli peace process, and this effort resulted in the Madrid conference later that same year. His attempts to restore order in violence-torn Somalia in December of 1992, during the last weeks of his presidency, was less successful, and the fighting continued into the Bill Clinton presidency. Bush succeeded President Ronald Reagan in 1989 after serving two terms as his vice president. His own presidency saw major world changes, starting with the fall of the Berlin Wall during his first year in office. Then the Soviet Union collapsed in 1991, and Bush and the last Soviet president, Mikhail Gorbachev, announced a U.S.-Russian strategic partnership, signaling the end of the Cold War. But on the domestic front, Bush disappointed by reneging on his campaign promise to cut taxes.
Read my lips. No.
The Republican president was forced by the Democratic majority in Congress to raise tax revenues to curb the nation's burgeoning budget deficit. The economic recession and persistent questions about the conclusion of the Gulf War contributed to his failing approval ratings, and he lost his re-election bid in 1992. Following the election defeat, Bush retired from politics and made his permanent home in Texas, where he had made his wealth in the oil business. But he did not disappear from the public eye. 8 years later, he was active in his son's presidential campaign.
This boy, this son of ours, is not going to let you down. He's going to go all the way and serve with great honor all the way.
In 2005, at the request of his son George, who became the 43rd U.S. president, the senior Bush joined with former rival Bill Clinton to assist in Hurricane Katrina relief efforts. Among various honors, he was awarded knighthood from Britain's Queen Elizabeth and the Medal of Freedom from President Barack Obama. The former U.S. Navy aviator and decorated World War II veteran celebrated several of his birthdays with much publicized skydiving events, the most recent one at the age of 90. Slarica Hawk, VOA News, Washington.
Meanwhile, Meanwhile, President Donald Trump is in Argentina attending the G20 summit. Later today, he meets Chinese President. Trump spoke to VOA's Greta Van Susteren in Buenos Aires about China's expanding global footprint.
Well, I think they're going to have less money than they have right now because the deal that I'm making, if you look at, we have $250 billion right now at 25%. That means we're going to be taking in billions and billions of dollars. Plus, I can double that up and then I can double it again. And they could never do what they did in the past with other presidents because, and you see what's happening. I mean, China is, I don't want to do this, but they are not doing very well now compared to what they were doing. And again, I think that we are doing well. We picked up $11.7 trillion in worth since my election, and China's lost a great deal of worth. And we are now a much bigger economy than China, which a lot of people don't know, but we're much bigger and really a much more powerful economy than China.
That's President Donald Trump speaking at the G20 summit in Buenos Aires. Today is World AIDS Day. It's a time set aside for grassroots activists, international aid agencies, and everyday people to rededicate themselves and their communities to a future with the virus controlled or even eradicated. VOA's Adam Phillips interviewed Chipango George, director of a small Zambian nonprofit for rural children, many of whom have been orphaned by AIDS.
There's a disease, a killer disease. It's called HIV AIDS.
That's Together We Are Strong, a song composed and sung by grassroots activist Chipango George to promote AIDS awareness and activism in Zambia.
I believe in the power that music has. It's the quickest way of getting the message to people's hearts.
Together we can save the
George spends much of his time in remote rural areas, working to help improve education for children who live far from the capital. One day, 4 years ago, he was at a village school doing outreach for his nonprofit, Building Futures, when he came across four young kids who needed extra support.
I was told they're orphaned and their parents had died a few years ago from AIDS. It was a touching moment for me. I couldn't do much but to just write a song about it and try and get the world understand that HIV is real, because the more we stay quiet about it, the more stronger it is becoming, and we're becoming weaker as a people. As an individual, I don't have the capacity on my own to be able to help them, because HIV AIDS is a big case, and not even a government alone can achieve it. It needs everybody else to just be a part of it if we're going to make the world AIDS-free. Because I feel if we fight together, we can end AIDS.
Despite significant progress in recent years, Zambia still has one of the world's highest HIV infection rates. According to UNICEF, in Western and Lusaka provinces, nearly 16% of the population is infected. George says this may be partly due to a lack of awareness in rural areas that it's AIDS, not witchcraft or so-called natural causes, that lies at the root of many otherwise unexplained deaths.
I'm trying to get them to understand that AIDS can actually destroy lives. I do appreciate organizations that have gone to such villages to try and sensitize people. But at the end of the day, it's not everybody that gets this information. These are people that I'm trying to talk about.
In many traditional villages, it's taboo for young people to discuss sex in the presence of their elders. But George says there is a proper and accepted way the subject can be broached.
It's important, especially when there's an issue like HIV AIDS, we have to discuss sex openly. But in these villages, speak to the adults and to young people at separate times.
Do people understand the connection between unprotected sex and transmission of the disease?
That is another thing that has to be dealt with. It's easy to say it. It's another thing to also do it. So right now, what's important is to encourage people to actually do what they hear, and not only to hear and do the opposite.
George says that even when people are diagnosed with the disease and are given medicine to control it, they sometimes neglect to take it as prescribed, or they don't take it at all. They can then infect others with the virus. And all too often, those with full-blown AIDS live in remote areas where access to affordable AIDS medication is poor. Indeed, that is how AIDS claimed two of George's beloved aunties during the 1990s.
If you listen to the song saying it's taken away loved ones, that is something personal. So I feel we have to stop AIDS from just destroying families. And if this was going to be achieved, togetherness is all that's needed. But on the personal point, I haven't done much on those children. But it's something I feel I should take seriously and not only sing about it, but be able to be practical about it and see to it that I can be able, with my little influence, get them support that I can.
Because together we are strong.
That is why, on this World AIDS Day, Chipango George continues his plan to expand the focus of his nonprofit to include rural youth who are living with AIDS, or at risk for HIV infection, or whose parents have been felled by the disease. Adam Phillips, VOA News, New York.
Together we can save the world. Because together we...
Yes, and there's been a lot of progress in the fight against AIDS over the past 30 years. But as we observe the 30th World AIDS Day, people still die from the disease, and others are newly infected every day. But as VOA's Marissa Melton reports, we have the tools to end the pandemic, so why haven't we?
There's been a lot of progress in the fight against AIDS over the past 30 years. But as we observe the 30th World AIDS Day on December 1st, people still die from the disease, and others are newly infected every day. But as VOA's Marissa Melton reports, we have the tools to end the epidemic, so why haven't we? Fear, stigma, and ignorance. The World Health Organization says these are the reasons the AIDS epidemic is not over, because doctors can treat HIV, the virus that causes AIDS. With treatment, no one needs to die from AIDS, and those with the virus can't give it to someone else. In addition, with prevention therapy, no one needs to get infected. Dr. Jared Baton, an HIV specialist at the University of Washington, spoke to us via Skype and says even with these tools, we're not there yet.
Because the ability to deliver those at the scale with the coverage needed to be able to get HIV to go away is not nearly where it should be.
Nearly a million people still die every year from AIDS. Via Skype, Professor Stephanie Strathdee at the University of California, San Diego, says one of the biggest challenges is that HIV often affects people on the fringes of some societies around the world.
There's populations at risk for HIV infection all over the world that are underserved, and these include injection drug users and sex workers in particular.
It also includes men who have sex with men, transgender people, prisoners, and the sexual partners of these people. Professor Strathdee says people who are hungry or need shelter are more concerned about their immediate needs than they are about HIV.
My research and research in this field really shows that you need to address the whole person and their needs in order to address HIV as one of their health concerns.
Strathdee says unless this happens, countries will have to bear the heavy social and economic costs of AIDS. In addition, Baton says testing and treatment have to be available to everyone.
The biggest thing that we've learned for preventing HIV in the last decades is that there is no magic bullet. But you put a whole bunch of really good things together, and it has exactly the kind of impact that a magic bullet would give you.
Scientists say using these tools, educating people, and getting more people into treatment will reduce stigma, and then when a vaccine comes along, we can finally put an end to AIDS. Marissa Melton, VOA News, Washington.
A report presents a dire portrait of hundreds of thousands of children in the Central African Republic who live in a state of permanent crisis brought on by years of conflict and international neglect. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from Geneva on a report by the UN Children Fund about the crisis in the Central African Republic.
The UN Children's Fund considers the Central African Republic to be one of the most difficult and dangerous places in the world to be a child, and the statistics bear this out. The new UNICEF report finds 2 out of 3 children, or 1.5 million children in the CAR, need humanitarian aid to survive. It finds tens of thousands of children suffering from severe acute malnutrition are at risk of death. It says children in this war-torn country live in a constant state of fear of being killed or subjected to abuse and violence. UNICEF's representative in the CAR, Christine Muhigana, says the children are in desperate need of the world's support. She says the country briefly made headlines 5 years ago when fierce fighting broke out in the capital, Bangui. Since then, she says, the CAR has been forgotten, although the situation in the country has worsened.
Children are at risk of violence, recruitment into armed groups, sexual violence, forced labor. Malnutrition is a grave concern. More children than ever are expected to need treatment for severe acute malnutrition next year because displaced families can't farm.
The lead author of the report, Marixi Mercado, notes that earlier this month, a UNICEF official warned of potential famine in the CAR unless the security situation improves dramatically and people are able to go home to cultivate their land.
CAR's children should not have to wait for a declaration of famine until the world acts and provides more resources to the country. By the time, because we know that by the time famine is declared, if it is declared, untold numbers of children will already have died.
UNICEF says it has received less than half of the $56.5 million appeal for CAR funding this year. UNICEF says the money is needed to provide life-saving food and medicine for severely malnourished children, as well as other needs like immunization campaigns and to provide clean water and sanitation. UNICEF says the money would also be used to set up learning and recreational centers to provide a space for children where they can retrieve a sense of normalcy and feel what it is like to be a child again. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Meanwhile, opposition supporters marched in Zimbabwe's capital on Thursday, demanding the government to do more to fix the sinking economy. Among other things, the marchers say they want employers to pay them in the same US dollars that government institutions demand for payment. The government allowed the protest, but said marches will only derail progress. Columbus Mavinga has more for VOA News from Harare.
Members of the opposition movement for democratic change took to the streets demanding the government address the inflation, shortages of basic goods, and lack of currency that are making it hard for average Zimbabweans to survive. Ahead of the protest, President Emmerson Mnangagwa warned the opposition not to abuse their right to demonstrate by engaging in violent or unruly acts. Junior Information Minister Energy Mutodi said afterward the march was pointless.
It was a big flop because people are seeing the unworthiness of just gathering in the streets and advocating for things that the government is already doing. We are saying to the opposition partners, they must join the government in development projects in ensuring that the country moves forward. Everyone is free to demonstrate, but don't just demonstrate unnecessarily.
Opposition leader Nelson Chamisa has vowed to keep mounting pressure until the government does something to ease the country's economic woes. We are not going to stop until that new 2% tax on electronic transaction is scrapped. It's thievery. It must go, said Chamisa. You government ask citizens to pay duty in foreign currency, yet they are paid in local currency. All civil servants and everyone must be paid in US dollars. Zimbabwe has grappled with currency shortages for years since abandoning its own dollar in 2008 amid record-setting inflation. People use American dollars as well as the British and South African currencies, but there isn't enough to go around. While the government says protests are unproductive, some Zimbabweans say they feel the demonstrations are the only way to go. 73-year-old Efimangoro protested Thursday. She says things have really taken a turn for the worse and that people are surviving on God's grace. She says government is not taking care of them and the situation is actually causing deaths among the people. It is now diseases after diseases, she says, and that if one goes to the hospital asks for US dollars. Where do people get them? Another protester was 69-year-old Kimbo Richard. He says you can't even borrow even 20 cents, 30 cents, a dollar or $2 because everyone wants to borrow too. He says children are being turned away for defaulting on fees. In town, one can see fewer queues stretching for 3 kilometers, and those who have jobs can go for 3 months without being paid. So things are tough for the people, he says. The unhappiness may go for a while as the government introduces more austerity measures that it believes are going to be painful, but ultimately beneficial for the citizens of Zimbabwe. The opposition said it had sent a petition to Rwandan President Paul Kagame, the current leader of the African Union, and to the regional bloc SADC, asking them to intervene before the crisis grows worse. Columbus Mavunga for VOA News in Harare.
Recently, South Africa's biggest agricultural union presented the government with a plan to try to avoid it taking land owned by white farmers and give it to black people. This would include allocating land to black farmers with the necessary official financial support to the agricultural sector. South Africa's ruling African National Congress, or ANC, says it will make a constitutional change to open the door for it to expropriate land without compensating its white owners. The Agricultural Union says if this happens, it will be disastrous. For VOA, Darren Taylor reports.
The ANC says an amendment to the law is necessary to correct the racial imbalance in land ownership. Almost 25 years after apartheid ended, most big commercial farms still belong to white food producers. Dan Crick is the leader of South Africa's largest agricultural group, AgriSA, which represents thousands of white and black farmers.
We have to acknowledge the devastating effect of colonialism, the 1913 Land Act, and apartheid on the lives of black people in this country.
Using these policies, racist governments made sure that whites farmed the best soil. Crick says AgriSA agrees this cannot continue.
The people on the ground are losing patience. And we are all at risk. If their patients run out, then we are all in trouble. That's the political dilemma.
Pockets of poor people have already started invading land, but state security forces have moved fast to quell the incidents. Crick says the political solution to the land question is for white farmers to help to restore the dignity of their black colleagues.
And how are we going to do that? We're going to take hands. I'm extending a hand of friendship from AgriSA and all the farmers here to government and say we want to partner with you, we want to collaborate, we want to seek consensus, and we want to take this country forward.
He and the leaders of smaller groups representing organized agriculture have signed a declaration taking responsibility for land reform. But in the meantime, says Crick, confusing statements from the ANC about land are fueling economic uncertainty.
That is not good for our economy. It is not good for internal and external investors. We are trapped in a low growth curve and we need to do something about it. We need to instill confidence in the South African economy.
AgriSA says the opposite will happen if the state confiscates white farmers' land. Crick adds that farm seizures will also threaten food security across southern Africa. He says AgriSA will soon present government with a strategy for organized agriculture to provide land for housing in urban areas, land for industrialization, and land for black farmers.
We need more black farmers on more black farms, and we can do that in a responsible way in a legal way, in a sustainable way, in a developmental way, without unsettling the balances in South Africa that we so desperately need, without scaring people. We cannot expropriate ourselves out of trouble. We've got to develop ourselves out of trouble.
Make no mistake, says Crick, South Africa is in trouble. Experts blame the rapid fall of the rand and an economic recession partly on the ANC's plan to seize land, and on the fringes of growing inequality and poverty are the radicals, poised to either incite black people to invade land or to urge white farmers to resist. I'm Darren Taylor for VOA News in Johannesburg.
You are listening to The Voice of America, and this is Nightline Africa. And coming up in the second half, the Saturday Music Spot from our collection of music from across the continent. And it's now time for our Saturday Music Spot. Yes, time to relax and enjoy great music from Africa.
Them no do pass you. Jamaican girls them high, but them no high pass you. You make a one true bangu. You know you would ever coupe. Aje, 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 aje. Mananti, 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 mananti sa. Aje, 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 aje. Mananti, mananti, mananti. Baby, would you believe if I tell you say?
American girls them ballin', but they no ball pass you. Them buy Jimmy too, but you they buy them double. I know say London cold, so me I won't come out. I don't want to do this, and I just won't call. Aje, 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 aje. Mananti, 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 mananti sa. Aje, aje, aje. Baby, would you believe if I tell you say you're the one for me, no one can take your place? Baby, would you believe if I tell you say you're the one for me, no one can take your place? Yeah, order, yeah, baby. Baby, would you believe if I tell you say you are there? Come for me, no one can take your place. Baby, would you believe if I tell you say you are there? Come for me, no one can take your place. Oh, oh,
Mm-hmm.
Zawadi weza maradi Uzuli ndo lako taji na maitaji Mina kipaji cho maridadi Achana no baba ishaji wanajinadi Tafata dini na hitikadi Ili mradi nkizi maitaji Tuzidi kumomba Mungu yendo mpaji Kuzalwa mwanaume mateso Mapenzi bila pesa fiche kesho Achani limeleo ili tuvune kesho Pata wala keo na tupunguze mazito Mapenzi Ni mfano wa bahari Tuitunze yetu siri Wapita njio si kariri Siwezi Kuamua kwenda mbali Kati unanipenda na kunjali Tuombe Mungu na tuswali
Namba unipende Utamua moyo usende kwa mwengi Nami nikupende Niwe mchoyo nisipe mwengi Namba unipende Utamua moyo usende kwa mwengi Nami nikupende Niwe mchoyo nisipe mwengi
Baby nipe mata
Tulia na mnyumwezki star Mfuko na cash na unja Watapata tabu sana wendo queen wada Everything I do, I care for my woman Popote tukopea ya ni burudan Hato kiongea niko cool man Bidada katulia yuko nyumba Toki nyari nyari Mi kwako nimepaki gari December to January Usiku kwa jua kari
Namba
Twice. And if you just believe it
Mama Africa, you.
So much love to share.
Sweet blackness, oneness, be there.
So much love to care.
And let them know they're missing out. Sing again.
Hey.
That's my favorite place when I need to get away. Must forget, but we can't forget to pray. Like lands right on the runway. In my homeland, and I'm feeling so alive.
See.
Hear me chant, Africa, unite. Gone and accept a nice, alright.
Still, you don't know. Yeah.
not your steady black man, oh. In the sea, move by the music. God, I will love you.
Kubanga, bafani batuana ne bagamba. Oba lava kwekaza na yenga bambi. O muziki tu kubanga gufuna. wana achite. Ekwe kamubu modiba kubanga achite. Mafani batu wana neva gamba ubite. Gagamel say we run the city. Raimu's a fezi wama wezi tip. Nama zina tuda zina wetu tip. Nebo tuwala na tuvela yoku tip. We run the city like nobody. Pandi club Mr. DJ turn up me tune. City kitty licky picky ticky city licky licky ticky chicky lakata. Mr. DJ, bami kakuwe non-stop. Magala wali ku dancing floor. Yola, situka, bend and pose. Yeza kuyimbira, of course. Wala bapeka zana enga bambi. Achite. O muziki tukuwa neba gufuna. Achite. Efe kamubu moli makumanga. Achite. Mafani batu wana neba gamba. Achite. Wala bapeka zana enga bambi. Achite. O muziki tukuwa neba gufuna. Achite. Efe kamubu moli makumanga. Achite. Mafani batu wana neba gamba. Achite.
Hello, baby, I'm gonna say casino. Niggas, it's too bad, I'm full of tetana.
The man, figure, cast is all up to now on in Dombe. I said, Goli. I sang on the can, and Bambalana, and Yagalana. Then my friends told me I'm slow. I'm shy, oh, hi, and I'm shy, a smile. I'm dark now, oh, yeah, Bob. And I'll take my hand. What's that? You're talking down, but I'm blowing my nice style of pants. And I'm singing like I think full of tando love.
That was our Saturday Music Spot. I sincerely hope you enjoyed the music. Nightline Africa comes to you on Saturdays and Sundays at 16 and 18 hours UTC from the English service of the Voice of America. From the rest of the Nightline Africa team, Managing Editor Shaka Sali, Producer Saida Hamdun, and our engineering team, we thank you for joining us tonight. Please join us again tomorrow, Sunday. I'm Douglas Mpuga.
This is VOA News. I'm Tommy McNeil.